Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, April 22nd, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini. I know that we had planned on getting back to normal today with Grace, and I'm actually texting with Grace right now. She is currently still stuck at a Broadway theater with the final press night for one of the shows she works on. And even though I am recording here at 11:20 p.m., she has not left work today. So we aren't going to be able to have her on the show today. Hopefully she will be back tomorrow, but with still many openings happening this week, which we will talk about here in a second, we're playing it by ear. But hopefully Grace will be back to add her expert insight here in the next day or so. But before we get into the show, we had a ton of stuff happen in the podcast feeds over the weekend. Not only did we have the normal This Week on Broadway come out on Sunday, in which they talked about Suffs, The Outsiders, Hell's Kitchen, Limpica, and more, but I also dropped two episodes. The first one came out before This Week on Broadway on Sunday, and I went over the reviews for the two shows that opened before Sunday, one on Friday, one on Saturday. The one that opened on Friday was Stereophonic. The one that opened on Saturday was Hell's Kitchen. I expected one of them to get rave reviews from the critics, and it did. That was Stereophonic. I did not expect the other one to get rave reviews from the critics, but it did anyway, and that's Hell's Kitchen. So if you want to go back in the podcast feeds, either Patreon or regular, you can hear that. And then I also followed up in the afternoon with my third and final travelogue episode from my trip that wrapped up last week. On it, I talked about not only the final set of shows that I saw, but also what I saw that had been in previews when I saw it and was able to talk about then. So I discussed Hell's Kitchen, Suffs, The Wiz, Six, MCC Miscast, The Who's Tommy, An Enemy of the People, and The Outsiders. So check that out. Of course, if you want to hear everything that we discuss, head over to patreon.com/BroadwayRadio, broadwayradio.com/Patreon. The travelogue episode is a Patreon exclusive at the mezzanine tier and above. And I'm also going to be chatting with theater influencer and friend of the show, Ashley Hufford, to predict and preview the Tony nominations. We're going to be doing that on Saturday morning. So that'll come out on Sunday or Monday, depending on what else is in the podcast feeds. But that'll be out in plenty of time before the actual Tony nominations happen on Tuesday. All right, with all of that out of the way, we have another show opening on Broadway, and this one happened over at the August Wilson Theater, and it was Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club. This is the latest revival of the iconic Candor and Ebb and Joe Masteroff musical Cabaret. This is directed by Rebecca Frecknow and choreographed by Julia Cheng. It stars Oscar and Tony winner Eddie Redmayne as the MC, Gail Rankin as Sally Bowles, A2 Blanks and Wood as Cliff, Natasha Diaz as Fräulein Kost, B.B. Newworth as Fräulein Schneider, and Stephen Skybell as Herr Schultz. This one is now in its third year of running in the UK, was one of the most popular shows when it opened at the Olivier Awards, and won many of them, including Best Musical, Eddie Redmayne won, Rebecca Frecknow won, and it won a ton of other things. So it came over here with a lot of excitement. They have also completely renovated the August Wilson Theater. You actually go in on the side of the theater and enter into what they are calling the Kit Kat Club, with bars all over the place. There's pre-show entertainment, the prologue performances, as we've discussed before, and the seating is completely reconfigured. So this is very much not your grandma's cabaret, but I will give you the plot description, even though you probably know the details, but this one is a little different. Experience this groundbreaking musical like never before. The denizens of the Kit Kat Club have created a decadent sanctuary inside Broadway's August Wilson Theater, where artists and performers, misfits and outsiders rule the night. Step inside their world. This is Berlin. Relax, loosen up, be yourself. Again, this was one of the most critically acclaimed shows and popular shows with audience members in the UK. But as of recording time, review aggregator site Did They Like It has collected 14 reviews. 4 are positive, 6 are mixed, and 4 are negative. Let's start, of course, with Jesse Green of the New York Times, who said, quote, "Let me quickly add that Rebecca Frecknow's production, first seen in London, has many fine and entertaining moments. Some feature its West End star Eddie Redmayne as the macabre MC of the Kit Kat Club and quite likely your nightmares. Some come from its new New York cast, including Gail Rankin as the decadent would-be chanteuse Sally Bowles, and B.B. Newworth and Stephen Skybell, dignified and wrenching as an older couple. Others arise from Fresnel's staging itself, which is spectacular when in additive mode, illuminating the classic score by John Kander and Fred Ebb, and the amazingly sturdy book by Joe Masteroff. But, too often, a misguided attempt to resuscitate the show breaks its ribs. The conception of Sally is especially alarming. As written, and as introduced in the play and stories the musical is based on, she is a creature of blithe insouciance, if not talent. An English good-time gal flitting from brute to brute in Berlin while hoping to become a star. Her first number, Don't Tell Mama, is a lively Charleston with winking lyrics that make the Kit Kat Club audience, and the Broadway one too, complicit in her naughtiness. Instead, Fresnel gives us a Sally made up to look like she's recently been assaulted or released from an asylum, who dances like a wounded bird, stretches each syllable to the breaking point, and shrieks the song instead of singing it. If Rankin doesn't sound good in the number, nor later in Mein Herr, interpolated from the 1972 film, she's not trying to. She's meant to be taken medicinally and poisonously in this production, projecting instead of concealing Sally's turmoil. He goes on to talk about how, during the book scenes, Fresnel's direction is much more adept at working with the original source material. He says, quote, "When this new cabaret follows that template, it achieves more than the buzz of chic architecture and louche dancing. Seducing us and then repelling us, in that order, it dramatizes why we flock to such things in the first place, whether at the Kit Kat Club or the August Wilson Theater. We hope, at our risk, to forget that, outside, life is disappointing, as the MC tells us. We want to unsee the trash." Greg Evans, like Jesse Green, was mixed in Deadline, saying, quote, "The promise of an overwhelming theatrical event just never quite makes good on itself, certainly not with Rankin's teary, intentionally overwrought delivery of the title song. We get it. Sally isn't meant to be a big star. I'd still rather hear Liza." Emmeline Travis, writing for Entertainment Weekly, was positive, saying, quote, "Rebecca Fresnel's celebrated take on the legendary musical has transferred to Broadway in a gritty, haunting production that is jaw-droppingly gorgeous from start to finish." Sarah Holdren, writing for Vulture, is mixed, saying, quote, "While Fresnel has put a lot of energy into giving Cabaret a glow-up, Sleep No More mood board, Eddie Redmayne in a party hat, she hasn't provided the show underneath the makeover with sufficient focus or muscle." Chris Jones, writing for the New York Daily News, was negative, talking about all of the new pre-show performances on all the extra bars and the very expensive tickets. He said, quote, "None of this would matter, arguably, if the production within this naked attempt to offer a value-added experience to increased revenue was worth seeing. Alas, outside of B.B. Newworth's and Stephen Skybell's Fräulein Schneider and Herr Schultz, it's not." Charles Isherwood of the Wall Street Journal said, quote, "Even the most decadent denizens of Berlin in the Weimar era, such as a sinewy androzine presiding as the MC at the nightclub where anything goes, sexually speaking, proved to be susceptible to the poisonous seductions of the ascendant Nazis in the theatrically sizzling, if emotionally tepid, Broadway revival of Cabaret." Adam Feldman of Time Out New York was a negative and, in an unstarred review, said, quote, "For this you should leave home? Pick up your knitting, your book, your broom, whatever. Life's too short for this cabaret." I will end on a positive note. Tim Tiemann of the Daily Beast said, quote, "Those performers are impressively operating on a small, raised circular plinth surrounded on all sides by the audience. Working within this self-imposed physical constraint, director Rebecca Fresnel produces clever and piercing thrill after thrill." If you want to read more of these and other reviews, you can check out the Did They Like It review roundup in the show notes. All right, the other big news that we have today came actually on Friday, and it was from the Tony Awards committee, who determines eligibility for whatever categories folks are going to be in the Tonys. We will have the complete rulings in the show notes, but I will run through the big ones. The biggest one of note is something that we'd talked about previously, and it had been reported that this had been decided previously but had never been announced, and that is that Brandon Jacobs Jenkins Is Appropriate was named eligible for the Best Revival of a Play category. Although this is the first time that the show has ever been on Broadway, it is an 11-year-old play that has played not only in New York City but around the country and internationally. Normally the rule is that if it is 10 years old or less, it could potentially be eligible for new play, but generally that has to have some other qualifications with it, like it is continuing from the original New York production, and that is not the case here. Completely different creative team, completely different cast, completely different everything. So as we originally predicted and as we originally reported, it is going to be a revival. The other major things that we will discuss, I will run through some of the performer categories. Isabella McCalla and Grant Gustin are going to be eligible for their respective leading roles for Water for Elephants. Ali Lewis-Borsgi is also going to be in the lead category for The Who's Tommy. Des McAnuff will in fact actually be eligible for Best Direction of a Musical for The Who's Tommy, even though he previously directed the show in its original Broadway incarnation. Brody Grant will be considered eligible for the lead actor in a musical category for The Outsiders, and if I'm being quite honest for you, I hope that he is not only nominated, but maybe wins. I said this on my Travelogue episode, him and Groff, I'm torn. I think Groff will win, but I thought Brody Grant was incredible in The Outsiders. Eden Espinosa, unsurprisingly, will be in the Best Actress category for Limpica. Chip Zion will be the one actor from Harmony that'll be in a lead category. James Monroe Iglehart and Taron Killam will both be eligible for Best Lead Actor for Spamalot. Sarah Paulson will be eligible for Best Lead Actress for Appropriate, as will Betsy Adeem for Prayer for a French Republic. And the one that I think was most surprising to me is that Marianne Plunkett and Dorian Harewood are eligible for Lead Actor and Actress in a Musical for The Notebook. I guess this makes sense if you're going to put any of them in a lead category for it to be them. I just would have assumed that they would all be featured because there isn't anybody who is essentially leading the show in terms of stage time or anything like that. It also really throws off my predictions for Marianne Plunkett. I thought that she would be one of the leaders in the featured actress in a musical category for a Tony, and now she's going to be in a completely different set of folks for Best Actress. I think she will still get nominated, but she's going to be up against folks like Eden Espinosa, Shayna Taub, Kelly O'Hara, Malia Joy Moon, Eva Noble-Zada, Gail Rankin, a lot of those other folks. So it's a very different category than she would have been if she had been in the featured. All right, I'm going to run through this week's theatrical schedule. There's so much. I am just going to tell you what is happening, and then I will send you to the show notes where you can get the links for all of these shows if you want more information. Happening on Monday night, we have two Broadway show openings. One of them is just kind of like the press review opening because the Heart of Rock and Roll already had its kind of gala opening. The other one will be the full gala and press, and that is Patriots. Then on Tuesday, we will have just one opening. The one day this week, we only have one. That is Mary Jane at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater from the Manhattan Theater Club. Also off-Broadway, the new group's All of Me, which stars Kira Sedgwick, will begin previews. Then on Wednesday, again, two openings. We have Illinois and Uncle Vanya. And then off-Broadway, the Public Theater's already extended Jordans will open as well. Then on Thursday, that is the Tony eligibility deadline, and we again have two openings. First, The Great Gatsby, and then Mother Play at the Helen Hayes Theater from Second Stage. We have some other stuff happening over the weekend. Friday, we'll begin performances for The Lonely Few off-Broadway from MCC, starring Damon Duano, Taylor Mount-Jones, Lauren Patton, and more. Then on Sunday, we have the opening for Playwrights Horizons Staff Meal. We also have the closing for Playwrights Horizons Teeth, as well as Theater for New Audiences Macbeth and Undoing. All right, in some other news, Sondheim fanatics, get yourselves over to Carnegie Hall on June 20th because there will be a one-night-only star-studded concert of Sondheim and James Goldman's Follies. This is going to be one of those things that Transport Group often does where it's not one person singing the role throughout. They will have different people singing the songs of the same characters throughout the course of the evening, but the cast is unbelievable. We have Julie Benko, Alexandra Billings, Clea Blackhurst, Stephen Bogardus, Norbert Leo Butts, Lynn Carew, Carolee Carmelo, Nikki Renee Daniels, Christine Ebersole, Katie Finneran, Santino Fontana, Alexander Gemignani, Erica Henningsen, Gray Henson, Jennifer Holliday, Rachel Bay Jones, Isabel Keating, Adrian Lennox, Norm Lewis, Ryan McCartan, Donna Murphy, Tom Sesma, Barbara Walsh, Karen Ziemba, and more, believe it or not. If you want to see that, unfortunately, it is already sold out, unsurprisingly. There is a wait list, however, if you want to head over and sign up for that. In cast album news, it was announced that Broadway Stereophonic will release a cast album that will be available to stream on May 10th. And Gutenberg Musical will also release a cast album. It'll be available digitally on May 3rd. But one other little bit of news for that, since they rotated guest producers for every performance, it's important to know who is going to be filling that role on the album. It will be none other than the legendary Mel Brooks. All right, I've got some recommendations for you here. First, if the reviews didn't sour you on Cabaret, the show's stars Eddie Redmayne, Gail Rankin, and B.B. Newworth were on CBS Sunday Morning talking to Mo Rocca, so you can check that out in the show notes. And if you're on social media, you have already seen this, but there was a video posted on social media of some of the backstage shenanigans happening over at Some Like It Hot, where Kevin DeLagula would stand offstage during a scene in which Christian Borle had to look that direction offstage, and every performance he would do something wacky, from being dressed like someone picking up trash to acting like he was tied to a chair to being covered in balloons. It was absolutely silly, an absolute joy to kind of watch the stuff that happens backstage, because we as fans don't get to see that very often. So if you haven't seen that yet, make sure that you check that out. All right, everybody, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio, and you can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Have a wonderful Monday, a wonderful week, and we will be back, hopefully with grace, to talk to you tomorrow.